Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we'll be talking about sport camps for visually impaired children.
We'll meet Dr. Lauren Lieberman, who's the founder of Camp Abilities, and speak with her about the many facets of Camp Abilities. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Lauren Lieberman, who we'll meet in a few minutes.
My dream is that, you know, when I was growing up, it was like, oh, don't talk to that person, don't look at them. And I feel like people with visual impairments were not out in the community as much, and people didn't know what their capabilities were. And my hope is that with all the things that we're doing through Camp Abilities, we are going to change the face of visual impairment and make it, it's not like, oh, do you run? It's like, which race have you done, or how far have you climbed, and what kind of bike do you have? You know, so it's not like if, it's that you do. I expect that you do. You are an active person. And I also expect that every able-bodied child will see kids with visual impairments out in the community so they don't ever think they can't do all these things.
That is so important, to have the expectations of other people sort of help drive you in certain directions. It's also important to be self-motivated, but, you know, if people think that you can't do something, sometimes you may just give up or not think that you might be able to do something.
And even if you've just done something, I can't tell you how many times, you know, we've just climbed a mountain, we're standing there at the summit with all these other people, somebody figures out Pete's blind, and they're like, well, why would you climb this mountain? You can't see the view.
But it's fun to climb the mountain, just struggling up there like everybody else does. You know, sometimes we get to the top of the mountains, and as you point out, it's so hazy or foggy that no one else can see the view either, but it doesn't stop them from getting to the top. Sometimes it's good to do something just to do it and feel the experience and the success of doing it.
And it didn't stop any of us from enjoying the hike, although the view is nice when you can see it. But that really isn't the point of climbing the mountain.
Our other motivation secret is that lunch happens at the top of the mountain. That helps quite a bit.
We got our kids up a lot of mountains that way. Turning now to our low-tech item, let's meet Lauren Lieberman.
My name's Lauren Lieberman, and I'm a professor at the college at Brockport in Brockport, New York. I went to Oregon State University, and I got my PhD in what's called Movement Studies in Disabilities. And so it's basically adapted physical education, but it's also a lot of research. And when I finished my doctorate at Oregon State, I got the job at Brockport. And I've been teaching here since 1995.
And she's also gone on to do some other great things in terms of setting up these camps for visually impaired children.
You know, there's some truth behind many stereotypes. Pete and I were both science majors. I was never really excited about taking phys ed. Pete was forbidden to take phys ed because he'd had a couple of detached retinas. So we were never really involved in phys ed in our schooling much. And boy, we really learned a lot. You know, I developed a real appreciation for why it's a good idea to teach some of these physical skills to children. And it's more than just keeping them fit.
Yeah, not only is it important to stay fit early in life when you're a kid, but it's also important to be able to socialize with other people your age and to participate in the same activities that all your friends are participating in. And then, of course, if you develop these healthy habits when you're young of staying active, then hopefully you'll keep doing those activities as you get older and stay more healthy as you get older to have a happier, healthier life.
I finally figured out when I was around 50 that exercising was a good thing, and boy, I feel a lot better than I used to during my previous decades of sedentariness.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is Camp Abilities that Lauren founded. Camp Abilities is a developmental sports camp for children who are visually impaired blind, or deafblind. As she'll explain during the course of the show, there are really several facets to camp abilities. First of all, they teach the campers how to access sports and recreation and to empower them to know what modifications to make so that they can fully participate at home or at school long after camp is over. In addition, they also use the camp to teach current and future teachers of physical education, vision or special education, how to teach sports to children with visual impairments. And then, for future generations of teachers and students, they use the camp to do research about physical fitness and attitudes and to learn better ways of teaching those. So here's Lauren giving a brief overview of the camp.
The camp is called Camp Abilities, and it's a week-long overnight sports camp for children and youth with visual impairments, blindness, or deafblindness. And we started our camp here at Brockport in 1996, and since then we've had our camp every year, and we started other Camp Abilities throughout the U.S. and in other countries.
How many different Camp Abilities are there now?
We have about 10 in the U.S., 10 or 11 in the U.S., and then we have camps in first year, and was going to be in Canada and Toronto this summer, and one in Guatemala and Costa Rica and Ireland. It's exciting, too, because since we had the camp in Puerto Rico about 7 years ago, we've had all of our materials translated into Spanish. Yeah, it's really exciting. Like this year, our new camps are in Boston, in Seattle, in Toronto, and then we have other camps that we're planning in places like North Carolina and Nebraska. So, and my goal is that every child will have a Camp Abilities within a half a day's drive so they can all be exposed to sports and friendships and then and be empowered to do sports at home. Oh, yeah, and next summer we're having another Camp Abilities in Finland, and I'm going to take students over to Finland and help them start that camp. It's never boring.
It's amazing how she's managed to spread these around the world in such a short period of time. That's really a great thing so that other visually impaired children can take advantage of these facilities and these programs.
And as you listen to her story, you'll understand just what's so special about Camp Abilities. Here's how the whole thing got started.
My first job was here at the college at Brockport, and I realized that my students, who are all going to be physical education teachers, would never have worked with a child with a visual impairment unless I set something up. And of course, as you know, I also knew that the kids that were in schools at the time were getting limited experiences with physical activity and sports in their physical education classes due to the fact that PE teachers weren't getting the background or the experience with kids with visual impairments. So with those two things together, I wrote some grants and got some funding, and I started Camp Abilities, and the purpose is to help improve and empower kids with visual impairments related to their physical activity and sports and recreation, and expose them to a variety of different sports and modifications to sports that they can access. But also, all the counselors are professional preparation students, so the idea is to train them and give them experience with kids with visual impairments. When they get out there, it's intuitive and it's natural, and they feel confident in teaching kids with visual impairments. So now more kids with visual impairments are being included because of our students are out there, and they're willing and able and knowledgeable to include them.
That's great. It's really a win-win all around. Not only are the kids benefiting from these programs and participating in these programs, but this is also broadening the base and experience of the PE teachers so that they can interact with any visually impaired kids that they may have in their classes later on in their careers.
And this can benefit not just children in PE classes, but even adults. So I've been taking this body pump class at the Y and really enjoying it. And I thought Pete would like it too, and he knows how to do a clean and press. Well, it turns out there's all sorts of other nomenclature that he maybe wasn't so familiar with, and the teacher will say, and one, and two, and three. Well, that's not real helpful. So I was yelling in his other ear, and it was still pretty confusing. But, you know, had the teacher been trained about how to say things a little bit more explicitly to somebody who couldn't see what she was doing as she demonstrated, well, maybe that would have been a little more successful.
First time she said do a clean and press, I was going to run down to the washing machine and grab an ironing board.
That would have been just as useful. Go ahead.
Not great exercise, though.
So apparently these camps have become very popular, and lots of people who find out about them want them in their areas.
So after a few years, when we had a huge waiting list in New York State, and then kids were coming from other states far and wide to our camp, and so when I was going and doing workshops or presentations, I was, you know, just telling people about Camp Abilities, and people were getting kind of mad saying, why are you telling us about this if our kids can't go? And I said, well, you could start one here. And so then some of my graduate students graduated and started camps where they ended up. And then we started a camp in Alaska because they didn't want to send their kids all the way to New York. I was at an international deafblind conference, and the president of Perkins School for the Blind, Stephen Rothstein, was there, and he said, well, why don't you write a manual? So he wrote a manual about how do you start a sports camp, and it's called Sports for Everyone. And it's published through Perkins School for the Blind. And now when people are using the manual, it makes it much easier to start a new camp. There have been sport education camps for many years. Those camps cater to kids who already know the sports and are already good at like swimming and track and field and goal ball. But the problem is with kids being included in their schools, they're not learning all the sports that they need to know to be in the sport education camps. So by coming to Camp Abilities and just learning all these new sports, they would be able to go to more rigorous camps and even Paralympic training camps with the United States Association for Blind Athletes. And some of our athletes have gone out to Colorado Springs and participated in their sports festivals and in some of their training programs.
I thought writing the manual was a great idea to be able to leverage the effort that she already put into developing these programs so that other people could start up such programs in their own communities.
Absolutely. One thing she mentioned that you might not be familiar with, because we had never heard of it, was GoBall. GoBall is a team sport that was specifically invented for visually impaired people to play. It's almost like a cross between volleyball and tennis, but with three people on each side and everything is tactile and the ball has a bell in it. So this can be a lot of fun if you have a group of blind people who want to play some sort of team sport together.
And if someone is sighted and they want to play, they have to wear
a blindfold.
Right.
Even if you're partially sighted, you have to wear a blindfold. They play plenty of go ball at camp. Here's how they spend the rest of the week.
So can you walk us through a typical week at camp? You know, a kid shows up on Sunday or Saturday, and what happens through the week?
The kids will come, like, let's say they come Sunday. The parents will drop them off. They'll get oriented to the dorm. They'll drop their things off. They'll meet their roommate. They'll meet other kids in their group. So we have about 55 kids. So we divide everybody up into four groups that are similar in age. And so they meet other kids from New York that are the same age and often sometimes the same visual impairment or experience the same kinds of things. So then we give them some time to get to know each other. And then that night we'll have some icebreakers and then we'll have dinner. And every night that we don't have a specialty come, we do kayaking and canoeing right on the Erie Canal. We have basketball, fishing, rollerblading, and then we have lots of different board games they can play. So it's free time. Every morning we offer tandem biking, track and field, judo, and beat baseball. So their group would go to two of those sports. Then we go back and have lunch in the dorm. And then we have what's called FOB, foot on bedtime, so the kids can lay down and rest for an hour. And then we have swimming and goal ball and gymnastics. And that's the afternoon activity. So then at nighttime, we also have our archery instructor comes in and teaches archery, and she happens to also be blind. And we have rock climbing, horseback riding, and we also have a musician who comes in. His name is Terry Kelly, and he comes and plays music at night, and we dance, and we have a great time. And because he's blind, he does a great job of being a role model and facilitates a lot of thought and we discuss things like teasing and ostracism and how to get over that kind of thing, bullying, stuff like that. That typically goes on throughout the week. And then the last night of camp, we have a talent show. it's a really fun night, the talent show. And then the last day of camp, the kids pick their favorite activity to show the parents. And so they can show off what new swimming strokes they learned or new diving skills they learned, their new judo move or gymnastics move. And so, and then we have a closing ceremony.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of fun. I wish I was a kid again.
Oh, me too. And it's nice to know that they address more than just the fun aspect and the physical skills aspect. They've got a group of kids who, you know, every one of them has some sort of disability. And much as I enjoy spending time with kids, you got to recognize that kids can be mean to each other. And anything that's different, they'll make fun of you for, whether you're taller or shorter or fatter or thinner or whatever. And here's a group of kids who are presumably frequently the butt of the jokes, and they deal with those issues as well.
Well, I think that it really helps to know that they're not the only ones that, you know, somebody says, guess who this is, or people are tapping them on the shoulder, or, you know, just things that are so frustrating. Or, you know, when a teacher says, oh no, you can't play this, you know, it's too dangerous for you, go to the library. You know, how do you advocate for yourself? And you say, you know what, I can play that game, and really get the opportunity to do something that people think you can't do. And that's the point of camp. One of our athletes, his name is Carl Towson. And when he was in middle school, I noticed he was a phenomenal runner. And I told him that. So he wanted to go out for his middle school track team. And the coach said no, because he's visually impaired. And he said, well, my camp director said I should be on the track team. And so his parents fought the school, and they let him be on the cross country team and the track team. And he excelled in middle school. He had a guide runner that would run in front of him. And then in high school, he got better and better. And then in college, he ran. And he was actually the first semester, he was athlete of the week for the whole university.
That's pretty cool. Where did he go to college?
He went to SUNY Morrisville.
As long as he doesn't get better than the guide runner, right?
That's right.
That's a great story. And it indicates the importance of being a strong advocate for yourself, particularly if you're visually impaired or have some other issue that you need to deal with.
Right. And once he succeeded in getting himself on the team and he was able to do so well, think of what that did for his self-esteem.
And being a role model for others.
And they bring a lot of ex-campers back to camp to talk to the current campers to show them what's possible.
The cool thing was, last summer, we had so many of our previous campers who were on their high school or college sport team. We had a panel of kids that were on their high school or college sport team, and they took turns talking about their process and how they made the team, how they stayed on the team, how they overcame their doctor's orders not to participate in sports. And it was really inspiring. And then the younger kids that were sitting there, you know, that hadn't experienced that before, were really empowered, thinking, I can be on my high school sports team. I can. You know, we had kids that were on their football team, diving, swimming team, cross country, track teams. It was really awesome and inspiring for everyone, because a lot of the campers knew the athletes from when they were campers. And to, you know, to see, I knew him when, and now look at him, he's sitting up there and he's on his sports team. He travels around and gets to compete for his university. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool, and it has to be pretty rewarding to have set up that program and encourage kids to be successful in that way.
And what a great thing to bring back the recent campers to show the current campers just what's possible. You know, when you're getting started at anything and you see somebody who's the best in the world, well, it's mind-boggling to think, how do I get from here to there? But if you're 14 and you see someone who's 18 or 20 and they're being successful at the next level up, or maybe two or three levels up from where you are, well, now that looks like something you might be able to achieve and something that it's worth trying to achieve. So this is great for giving these kids optimism and hope and role models and the skills with which to achieve them. So if you happen to know any blind youth, here's how you would register.
Our website for our camp is www.campabilities.org. And so they would go on there and they could register their child for camp. Right now we're full for this year, but registration always opens up January 1st. And the child just has to be 9 years old and has to have a visual impairment. And they have to be able to have communication and be predominantly independent.
And what's the maximum age?
19.
So the campabilities.org website will take you directly to the original Camp Abilities in Brockport, New York. If you want to find out about a camp in some other area, just use Google, and it's pretty easy to find. As you can imagine, this is not an inexpensive proposition. Fortunately, the campers don't have to bear the entire cost, but it's certainly a worthwhile production.
The Commission for the Blind of New York State pays for each child's what they would pay for their tuition for camp, which is $850. But the difference between what they pay and what it costs us to have the camp is about $45,000 every year. So I have to write grants and fundraise and beg people for the $45,000 difference. But our camp is expensive just because we hire specialists. We have a lot of kids. And, you know, we pay people to come and teach the kids because they are literally specialists. So they know gymnastics and they know visual impairment, or they know judo and they know visual impairment. And it's hard to find really good professionals that know both. So the other camps, typically they do fundraising and they usually charge the kids something. And the families often go to their Lions clubs or go to other service organizations to help them pay for the camp.
So just in case somebody listening to this program feels motivated and wants to send you money, what would your contact information be for that?
Sure, that would be great. They would just make the check out to the Research Foundation, Camp Abilities, and then they would send it to Lauren Lieberman, the College at Brockport, Department of Kinesiology, 350 New Campus Drive, Brockport, New York, 14420. And we are a 501c3, so they can actually write it off on their taxes. And it would be so welcome to get donations.
And there are also volunteering opportunities. If you want to come and provide a breakfast for the youth, or maybe a lunch, or if you just want to visit, or you want to be an assistant, just go to their website, click contact, and ask them how you can help out. And then in this process, you can actually get to meet some of the campers and some of the counselors and see how this all works for yourself.
And not only will you be doing a good thing, but I'm sure it'll be very rewarding.
Now for this week's high-tech item. How they use the camp to do research on teaching visually impaired children about sports and about their basic motor skills.
I think what people don't know and what I think makes our camps so unique is that when children with visual impairments were started being included in their home schools was a great thing, although it made it very difficult to do any research on descriptive studies, on intervention studies, any research. So when we started Camp Abilities, one of the wonderful outcomes is that we can interview kids, we can have kids try different interventions, we can interview parents, we can, you know, we can give kids questionnaires. So we've actually gotten a lot of wonderful data and improved practice because of Camp Abilities. So it's not just that 1 week camp, it's the fact that we get research grants, we find out information. And I work with the American Printing House for the Blind, and we develop products, we write books. And so the ripple effect of what camp does is tremendous. And this is an example. We just received a grant to study the motor development of children with visual impairments, age 6 to 12. So one of my graduate students went around the country and collected data, and we analyzed the data. And now we're writing a curriculum to help teachers and parents teach young kids with visual impairments how to do motor skills. For example, running, jumping, leaping, batting, throwing, rolling, catching. Those are all skills that kids need to be able to play games with their friends. If they learn these skills properly at a young age, they'll be more active and more social. So this grant from APH and the data that we collected now has led to this curriculum. And we just received another huge grant to create a video on how do you teach motor skills to young kids with visual impairments. And we're going to make a website, we're going to put it on DVDs and give them out at conferences. And then with that grant, we're also developing a video for the teacher's aide. Often they're called also a paraeducator, a training video for the paraeducator to train them how to work with the kids with visual impairments. And so this next generation of kids, once they're exposed to this curriculum and these videos, I mean, the people that are teaching them, they'll be better athletes, hopefully.
You might think, gee, most kids learn these things on their own. Why do we have to go out of our way to teach the visually impaired children how to throw a ball, to swim, to run, to use a bat and ball? But the problem is, if you're visually impaired, you don't see other kids, older kids, doing this. I mean, you don't walk down the street and just see someone throwing a baseball. So someone may tell you throw a baseball, but if you don't know the form and how it's done, you won't be good at it for sure. And the same with many of these other sports. A lot of it you just have to see and assimilate from other people doing it.
And oftentimes, if you're not very good at it, it's not so much fun for you. And then the other kids don't want to play with you. They only want to play with the kids who they perceive as being as good as them. But, you know, if you can learn these basic skills, then you can play with the other kids. And that adds a lot more to your life than just the physical fitness benefits that you're getting as well. Lauren mentioned the American Printing House for the Blind as a resource for further information. If you go to their website at www.aph.org/PE for physical education, they have information about books and equipment and programs and sport camps and websites to all sorts of other information. There's no end of information that you can get there. So that's a very valuable resource. So back to the camp. Here's Lauren summarizing the whole point of the camp.
Our idea is for the kids to come here and be exposed to sports, understand what they need to modify soccer or basketball or dancing, and then go out and go to a soccer camp or go to a Boy Scout camp, technology camp, and then figure out how they can be included with their peers.
So you might want to look for one of these camp abilities in your area. And if there isn't one in your area, get in touch with Lauren, get a hold of her manual, and maybe you can start your own.
If you missed any of the links that we've mentioned, they're all in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show number 1217. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about birding for the visually impaired with a blind amateur ornithologist. And this is prime birding season, so that should be very interesting. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day. Thank you.